Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Rob, and I've got some bad news and some good news this week. The bad news is that, unfortunately, owing to some sickness, Brad is not able to join this week. So, obviously, we wish him the speediest of recoveries, and he should hopefully be with us for next week. The good news is I have a buddy with me, so it's not just a solo show. So, why don't you introduce yourself, buddy?
Hello, everybody. My name is Carlos Candido.
Yeah! What's up, man?
Not much, man.
Carlos Candido. It's good to see you, man.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. Yeah, you know, we've been talking about it behind the scenes, but scheduling has been tricky at times, and time zones are always a concern. But we have you. You are here with us for the first time since episode 101.
So really? Last time I was on was 101.
Yeah, so you're talking 6 months.
January.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long time. How have you been?
I've been.
All right, yeah.
Life has been the world has been turning, and yes. Things have been new and mm-hmm. Challenging and different, but fun and exciting, and I'm really looking forward to this new chapter of my life, and I'm really looking forward to recording more Talk Star Wars with the new Admiral, Mr. Rob Wade.
Well, this is true. It's been a while. You know, a lot has changed since the last you were on. We were under the helm of a different helmsman at the time, and now it's helmed by a different helm. I'll come back in. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Things have changed a lot, but from speaking behind the scenes, it sounds like it's been after some challenging times, you seem to be on a good path, and I'm really pleased for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And obviously, I'm thrilled to have you here. So, let's just jump right into it, shall we?
Yes.
So first, before we get into listener comms, I have one announcement to make, which I put out on Twitter this week, but just to reiterate, Talk Star Wars is now available for you fine users on Spotify.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
well done.
So it's been a long time coming. I've been, back and forth, but there's been a lot of behind the scenes, waiting, but finally you can search Talk Star Wars and see Talk Star Wars and subscribe to Talk Star Wars. So I am understandably very pleased about this, and hopefully
the whole catalog or starting from
shebang.
Nice, very
the whole
well.
Good. Shebang. So you can catch up with the latest. You can listen right now. Once you finish with this one, you can go back and listen to all 127 before and all the extra shows we've done to your heart's content on Spotify.
Yeah. Which I would suggest the episode 101, which was the last
I think that's
one
a great
on.
One to go for. Definitely. I can't agree more. It's a great episode. I remember it well. Pleasantly surprised. You were introduced as a surprise to me, and I was very happy about this. There you go.
Yeah, it was good.
We just gave ourselves a cheers behind the scenes. That doesn't work so well over radio, but we're going with it. So
let's do it.
TSW on Spotify. Happy days.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So now, with that said, let's move into listener comms. So Vesuvi's been kind enough to write to us twice this week.
Beautiful.
So would you like to read the first or the second?
I'd read the first.
All right, go for it.
So from Vesuvi, thanks, Rob. Thanks, Brad. Wherever you are, Brad, in our hearts.
Yeah.
In your discussions on Carrie Russell, you two neglected to mention that she was in Mission Impossible 3 from 2006, which gives her a bit more street cred than her TV work. Although I hear she's wonderful as a Russian spy in The Americans, which ended its 6-season stint back in May. And I can attest to that. She was very good in The Americans.
Cool.
But hey, we'll find out soon enough whether or not her role in episode 9 is notable. Personally, I've been aware of her work since Felicity from 1998 to 2002. And I started taking her more seriously since Waitress in 2007. She's also delightful on late night chat shows. Wouldn't it be funny if they camouflaged her beauty with an alien makeup? I'll leave you with two images of a recumbent Chewbacca ruminating on a pallet of polychromatic blossoms from a Marvel comic. As ever, Vesuvi.
Well, thank you for that, Vesuvi. And Vesuvi has indeed kindly sent us two panels from, I believe it's the Chewbacca 4-issue standalone run that Marvel did, which actually retconned Chewie not receiving a medal at the Battle of Yavin. which I thought was quite cool. Yeah, it's one of those little touches. Yeah, it was a little nice little touch. And it is, they are beautiful pictures of polychromatic blossoms, which is a lovely way of saying flowers.
Yes, yes.
I could have sworn that I mentioned Mission Impossible last week, but I'm fully, you know, it's fully possible that I have neglected to mention it. So my apologies to anyone who...
I cannot confirm or deny that.
No, I can't either.
I know that in Tumbling Saber we did. So yeah. If I can't say, I know for sure Mission Impossible was discussed, but I can't tell which show. If it was on both shows.
No, I say it's fully possible that I completely forgot it has been known. So, you know, apologies if that slipped under the radar. But, you know, she absolutely does have some cred. And I was saying last week, and I still maintain this, there is something about her face that tells me I've seen her in something before, but I cannot place it for the life of me. It's entirely possible I've seen a bit of Mission Impossible 3. They all kind of blend into each other to a point, those films, for me.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Mission Impossible franchise, but I have seen her in quite a few different films, and she's great. And I've mentioned this before that I believe she would be an asset to Episode 9 if obviously the writing needs to be up to snuff. Mm-hmm. She's very, very good. And
okay. Nice.
I wasn't here last week to discuss what I thought she could do in the film, but mm-hmm. I like her as a potential Jedi trained by Ahsoka Tano.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And she's there to mentor Rey.
Yeah.
That was my idea.
Yeah, we
Chop
did.
Rules with the Z enjoyed that one. So
yes,
I think,
I can imagine
it was
he
fair
did.
To share.
Yeah. In fact, actually, thinking back on it last week when we were asked about it, there was a specific mention in the question of First Order or Resistance. I don't think we actually took the Jedi path in terms of exploring that as a possibility, but that makes a lot of sense. I do, looking at the kind of, you know, the roles she had, kind of spy movies, spy characters in TV and things like that in the more recent years, it makes me wonder if maybe she might be somebody with that kind of background in Episode 9. So I'm presuming that the Resistance is going to be heavily ragtag in Episode 9. Because they took out most of the military in Episode 8, right? So, you know, there's the Resistance can fit on the Falcon. So there's not many of them at the end of Episode 8. Obviously, they do have a path to retcon, which is that the transmission was received from Krait, but no answers came. So maybe they can retcon it so that people couldn't get there in time or something along those lines. So it's doable. And it makes me think maybe they'll kind of assemble a motley crew of misfits and vagabonds and cads and bounders, you know, that kind of the ne'er-do-wells, the kind of, you know, not so much scum and villainy, but with a conscience, like a Han Solo type.
The no good nicks.
Yeah, exactly. You'll say like a scum and villainy, but with a little bit of a conscience, and there's a limit, the moral line that they won't cross, and as a result, they're kind of not quite cut out for the real path of, you know, bounty hunterdom and stuff like that, but they may still be on the espionage side, that sort of thing. So maybe she might fit something like that for the Resistance.
Sure. Well, it's the New Rebellion, right? So
exactly.
I think they wanted to do away with Resistance as a term.
Yes.
I think Ryan convinced everyone at Lucasfilm that Resistance wasn't the right word, and mm-hmm. they just brought back Rebellion.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
With Luke's line of the rebellion is reborn today, I think it's going to be called the rebellion going forward.
Yeah, entirely. I think that's entirely likely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, I think, you know, the overwhelming sense I get is that everybody's really positive on this Kerry Russell stuff. So even though I'm not fantastically familiar with her previous work, I think that it's fair to say that it's gone down well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think there's probably more positivity around this announcement than the rumors about Lando, because that's got a little bit of a mix about it, a tiny bit. It's mostly positive.
Yeah, well, the only, I think people have trepidation because he hasn't been healthy as of...
no, that's true.
The past 2 years. And, you know, if he wants to come in, they're afraid of him coming in and not just being a cameo, but a caricature of his former character.
Yeah.
That's what people are afraid of. But I think they're going to do it right by the character.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that Brad mentioned a couple of times in the last few shows is that he feels a little bit aggrieved that it's taken the death of Carrie Fisher and the sort of dispatch of Luke Skywalker for them to consider putting Lando in, which I think is a fair point. You know, it would be nice if they just kind of always had the plan to work him into the story somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get that impression, you know.
I'm not on board exactly with the feeling that they needed Lando because Carrie passed away, because Luke was always going to be a Force ghost in episode 9. And so,
that's true.
And Carrie was still alive when they stopped shooting. So
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. So I believe that, look, as long as it suits the story, and for people who have heard me on other podcasts, that's I'm very big with, if it's good, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think most people will be, you know, and I think even the sort of the staunchest cynics will be won over by a good performance and a well told story. Ultimately, you know, those who are at least kind of going to go and look at it as objectively as it's possible to do with art.
Yep.
You know, it's, I think, you know, I'm sure, like, I can't speak for Brad. Obviously, he's not here. Say, get well soon. But I think that he would be the first to say, and I think he did say on previous shows, that if it's, you know, he'll still enjoy it. And if they tell a good story, he'll still be game for it. It's just a question of, it's that kind of first introduction, and that kind of the reasoning behind it doesn't quite, it's a little bit sort of, disappointing, I guess.
It also looks opportunistic with the reception of Donald Glover as Lando in Solo.
True, yeah.
So there is that. You know, I understand people's little weariness a little bit of the reasons behind it. Like, mm-hmm. do they want to cash in on the Lando love, on the cape room, on
a lot of capes.
Gets a lot of capes, yeah. I understand it, but I don't think. I always believed that there was a place for Lando in the minds of the storytellers.
Oh, totally. I mean, I was pitching ideas to bring him in episode 8. You know, way back when in Talk Star Wars history, it could have easily worked.
Easily worked.
Yeah.
This was you had Akbar there. Why not?
I mean, this is general. Before I knew anything about episode 8. But you know, I had ideas at least. But sure. You know, that's all I had at the time. That's all I could work with. But, you know, I did.
You're an idea man, Rob. You are the man of ideas. Exactly.
No execution whatsoever, but ideas abound.
We're quite similar in that regard.
That's the spirit.
Yes.
So thank you for that, Vesuvian. And as I say, thank you for those nice Chewbacca panels. They're lovely. And they are lovely. There's something very tranquil about the second panel in particular. Just that kind of, you know, it's very kind of pale, like pastel pink colors. Mm-hmm. Chewbacca just very serene looking. There's there's the little panel with speech that kind of foreshadows that there's going to be something going on. But in the meantime, you're just able to enjoy this Wookiee just enjoying a lovely day.
And exactly.
That's nice, I think.
I'm sure it's nice to be a Wookiee and have a breeze going through your hairs, like multiple. Yeah, I'm sure there must be a nice cooling effect.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, because it must be hot inside that fur, you know, it must be warm. And I'm feeling, you know, I'm not a hairy man by any means, and every year the hair on top's a little bit thinner. So you know, I certainly and I'm feeling the heat now, and I'm not kind of, like I say, I'm nowhere close to Chewbacca's level of fur, so I can only imagine what he's going through. It's just, you know, it's madness. I can't imagine, you know. So Vesuvi also asks, is the brief clip towards the end of the Solo A Star Wars Story home video ad of Han pelting Chewie with a snowball just from a deleted scene, or will it be integrated in the movie itself in a director's cut of sorts? So there's a link to the advert in the show notes. So if you do download those from talkstarwars.co.uk or starwarscommonwealth.com, then you can get them that way. And you can get an access if you haven't already seen it, because by this time you probably will have, because let's be fair, we eat that stuff up.
Yes.
Do you think that's something they're going to work into the film, or do you think that's just going to be a kind of deleted scene? Or even, I mean, there's an option there as well that's not in the list, which is it's behind the scenes, it's part of a behind the scenes documentary.
I definitely think it's more of a behind the scenes thing.
Mm.
When you listen to the voiceover, Han's voiceover, it's not even the same as the theatrical trailer. It's a different cut of some of the same lines.
Hmm.
So, and I saw it 5 times in theater. So,
oh wow,
I'm quite familiar.
You're quite versed in it. Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah, with the lines and how they're delivered.
Yeah,
and they're much closer to what we actually hear in the movie. Mm-hmm. As opposed to what we got in the theatrical trailers.
Yeah.
And I believe that it's probably from they're not. There's going to be no director's cut.
It's very unlikely. I think you're right. I think it's most likely going to be a if it's in the film in a theatrical context, it's going to be a deleted scene, I would say.
Yes, it's either a deleted scene or just some tomfoolery behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Star Wars, I know Star Wars has occasionally done outtakes and gag reels on home video releases, because I know there's mm-hmm. one on episode two has one. It's about 2.5 hours long. I kid. Yeah, there is a gag reel on episode two's DVD. So, you know, I still love that movie despite its flaws. But I don't know. Are they kind of prone to a lot of gag reel stuff? It generally tends to be deleted scenes, right?
Yeah, whether it's part of the digital release or the physical release, there usually is one. I don't know, maybe 4 to 6 minute clip of like gag reel or just bloopers.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff. It's not really, extensive.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 6 minutes is quite long, but I have seen them. I have seen them in the past. And that to me looks more like, it looks like Alden Ehrenreich is pretty much fooling around with Junis.
Yeah. I imagine they seem to have quite good chemistry on screen. So I can imagine they probably get along quite well behind the scenes as well.
Yeah. So I don't know. I could be wrong. Could be a deleted scene, completely part of a deleted scene.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
That's not my first instinct.
Yeah. No, I can see what you mean. Definitely. I think it's most likely going to be a deleted scene, or more than likely, I think it's behind the scenes footage that we'll probably see worked in somewhere, like either a gag reel or a kind of one of those documentaries they do where they kind of tie together all the different bits and pieces.
Yeah. Featurette, right?
Featurette. That's the one. That's what I've been looking for. Yeah. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Yeah. So we have, thank you for that, Vasuvi. Very, it's always kind of you to write in, to do double duty. And in fact, actually, while we've been talking, a third email's come in, but we are coming to the subject in the notes, in the news. That's the stuff I was talking about just before we went live.
Mm.
So, Vasuvi, I see what you've written. The conversation's coming, don't worry. So the other message we had was from Adam Kay. And Adam writes, "This was a great question my best friend asked and wanted to relay to you. I'm hopefully your best friend's listening with his own subscription as well, and you guys are meeting up and talking about the podcast. That would make me so happy. So if that's the case, Adam, then let me know, because I would love to hear that. That would make my day. What would be a good pitch for Rian Johnson's trilogy, keeping in mind his aesthetic, but also Disney's probable cautiousness after The Last Jedi? Keep up the amazing work. Best, Adam K."
Nice, thank you, Adam.
Yeah, it's a really good question. It has a lot of, there's a lot of scope to it.
Yeah, there's potential, a lot of potential meat.
Yes,
on that question.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's one thing. You know, the question of Disney's caution aside, I think one thing that arguably very few people disagree on is that The Last Jedi is a visually spectacular movie.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
It's stunning. You know, that's for all my sort of niggles with it, and there are some, and they vary in degrees of severity. The one thing I cannot fault is the visuals of that film. They are superb. Yep. You know, some of the best in saga, I would say.
Yes.
With that said, My thinking initially was that because I had this sense that there was going to be more digging into the Force in a kind of, I guess, in a more philosophical way, which we got a little bit of that, but not to the degree I was expecting. I was always thinking before the movie came out, based on what little bits and pieces we'd had, that he would most likely go really far back in time and tackle the kind of origins of the Force, and that in Legends they had it as Dawn of the Jedi, that there was a book series, that kind of pre-Old Republic, the first ever people to discover the Force and to harness the Force. That was, you know, like I said, there was a book series in the Legends that kind of dealt with it. I felt like that was where his kind of, he might end up going if he was looking to explore that in more depth. Now that the movie's out, I almost feel like the opposite is true. I think actually he's far more likely to go with some sort of Resistance era trilogy set off somewhere else in space. So maybe he might still deal with the First Order, but not with the characters we've seen on screen. So I don't know, like I mean, you know, between 7 and 8, we've been led to understand that the First Order is kind of, what with the Hosnian system being destroyed, the First Order is mobilized to an extreme degree. And it makes me think that maybe he might tell some stories around that, you know, to kind of go into that in a bit more depth. Because that's one thing that does quite, that jars quite a lot, is, you know, they strike with their super weapon, they destroy 5 planets. The 5 planets are established to be kind of quite important to the galactic balance of power in Force Awakens. And then the super weapon's destroyed. And then we go from that in the end of episode 7 to episode 8, opening with the First Order has basically spread and started taking over the entire galaxy. And there's a big space there that's not really fleshed out. And there's a lot of, I think, a lot of opportunity for storytelling in that space.
For a trilogy?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Is there enough meat there for a whole trilogy, or is that, you know, do you have to kind of come, you know, if you're looking, I mean, this is assuming you're looking at the same characters in all three films.
Sure, sure.
I'm wondering if maybe you'd have to do time jumps with those characters, you know, maybe something just before Force Awakens, maybe in that era that Resistance might be kind of dropping in, kind of 5-6 years before, when you start seeing the kind of, in Bloodline, it's sort of suggested that 5-6 years before is when you start the kind of the fall of Kylo, the fall of Ben Solo and the rise of Kylo Ren is kind of in that era. So that would be, First Order is kind of still underground, but consolidating power. So maybe you tell story, maybe you can tell stories there.
It's tough. I really didn't expect you to come back to so close to present day. I was expecting more Rob Wade-ism from you, but being surprised is a good thing. I just don't know if there's enough meat in that era for a single movie, for a standalone. I 100% agree with you. I think that there's a lot that could be played from the standpoint of after, let's say, Hosnian Prime getting destroyed, and let's say, what if there's ships in orbit that didn't get destroyed, and they're like, what the hell just happened?
You
follow that crew. That's something that could be super interesting. But for a trilogy, I never put my idea in there. I'm going more traditional Rob Wade and I'm thinking Old Republic style.
Something that
he can pick the best parts of from the expanded universe. And bring into canon. And nothing that he needs to see, the problem with Star Wars in general is the fact that George Lucas decided to do episode 4 first. Because what that did is it created a bunch of logistical nightmares for continuing the saga.
Yeah.
And going back to do episode one, and that the prequel trilogy at that time created other logistical nightmares.
Yes.
And a little bit too much trying to retcon certain things. And I heard it either here or on another podcast. So throwing Chewbacca on Tashiyah.
Yeah.
With Yoda. Like, you didn't need to do that. It was cool. No. It was fan service-y, but the whole thing was fan service-y.
Yeah.
So it was a bit too, it was a fist of ham, as you like to say.
And, yeah, I'm fond of that phrase.
And yeah, so I see Ryan going to a place where there are no other puzzle pieces to yeah. have to fit anything.
You don't have to, you're not constrained yeah. so much by.
Exactly.
I mean, let's be fair, like the only, I love the Old Republic era. It's a great place to tell stories. So I definitely get where you're coming from. And hence, you know, the kind of, as you describe it, the kind of classic Rob Wade pitch for telling stories is Old Republic. And, you know, I definitely get the appeal. And actually, when you think back on it, the only thing that's there that's canon anymore is Darth Bane. That I can think of, at least. I think they've adopted some of the stuff from the Old Republic into soft canon. Mm-hmm. But Darth Bane is the really concrete piece in that.
And he's a beloved character.
His Legends trilogy is incredible. It's one of my favorite Star Wars books still. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it matters less in the grand scheme in terms of storytelling, it still tells this incredible character arc. And it, you know, the first book in particular is nothing short of superb. And the audiobook is amazing. It's Jonathan Davis who does all the dark side stuff with this absolutely wonderful aplomb that just, there's something about his voice that's just foreboding. You know, he speaks and you just, oh man, something's going down. You know, when he's, you know, two characters facing off, this is going to be great. And the lightsaber fights in that stuff are amazing. The whole concept of him kind of going underground with his own Sith order under the surface and tricking people into taking themselves out rather than the direct. He's smart. He's resourceful. He's, you know, he's kind of having this epiphany about the dark side of the Force as he's going along. And then once he's kind of wiped them all out, he's like, right, now what? And now then he starts to build himself back up and build this power up and take on the Jedi. And he's, like I say, he's just this incredibly deep character with this incredibly interesting, compelling arc. And he's the only piece, and it's only a passing piece now, because the only thing that's left is the Clone Wars stuff, the Mortis arc stuff, Yoda.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's left. Is it not the Mortis arc? It might be the Mortis arc. The Yoda thing, where Mark Hamill voices Darth Bane, is the only thing that's left that's hard canon now. And the rule of two being his, you know.
Yes, yes.
That's the only thing that's left, because everything else has been been legendized.
Yeah, it's from 2012, right? And I'm sure when they did it, they said, we can always come back and put things back into canon.
And they've done bits and pieces.
Existing stories that are good, even better.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what I love. That's what I love to do. Like, just think of whether it be anything. Mm-hmm. If it's a story, if it's a song, if it's a piece of furniture, I look at it, what it is in the moment, and how can I improve this?
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So they have that opportunity. I mean, it's been 6 years since they threw everything into Legends.
Yep.
And how long have they been writing? And how long has Rian Johnson had an idea for something?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Yeah, they confirmed it, I think, a month or two before the Last Jedi came out. So he's had at least,
I think it was 3 or 4 weeks before. Yeah,
he's had at least eight months to do something.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Plus perhaps time before. You know, maybe he's been pitching this idea for a while. Who knows? I think the important thing is to remember is that, you know, Lucasfilm would not have given him a trilogy of his own to tell separate stories. Having seen the last, because they would have seen The Last Jedi by then.
Yes, of course.
If they didn't have faith in him to tell good stories, then they wouldn't have given him a trilogy and wouldn't have announced it 2 months before the movie came out. That was absolute, you know, that was absolute faith in what he's going to do next.
Yeah, 100%. I agree 100%. Yeah.
I think So yeah, there's loads of places they can take it. This is the thing, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
There's, like you say, you can go really far back. You can, I think there is some room to tell stories in that Force Awakens, Last Jedi space, if only because Force Awakens into Last Jedi was a matter of, you know, days.
Mm-hmm.
They could tell a similar trilogy over a short space of time. Plus also there's an unknown quantity about where we are in episode 9, how far forwards we are. So mm-hmm. there could be a big 10-year space that we are about to see fleshed out in Ryan's trilogy. So there's room in at both ends of the spectrum, really, for
that's right, yeah,
for telling stories. You know, there's a big space to play.
The whole trilogy, that it's a side trilogy, right? So
yeah,
what you're describing, so it can it starts at the end of episode 7,
mm-hmm.
Where where the Republic is destroyed.
Yep.
The second part could be them getting the message from Krayt.
Yep.
And the third part could be building up the resistance to, or the new rebellion to episode 9 itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like a sliding doors thing where you're not seeing the main characters, you're seeing complete side characters, but they're feeding into each other and off of each other.
Yeah.
When you explain it that way, I see room for 3 movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just depends on the stories they're telling and how, because I know they're not going to be telling stories about the characters we're familiar with, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to get characters that tie into those storylines. You know, like you say, you're absolutely right. You could easily do an escape from, you know, Hosnian or nearby in episode 1 of this new trilogy. Episode 2 could be, you know, fighting the First Order's occupation of a planet, or, you know, it could be heavy on space battles or something along those lines. And then episode 3 is them kind of making their way to support the resistance and even kind of bedding in with them and kind of going from there. There's a lot of space to play in.
Yeah, there's a lot of space for space in space.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you're on my wavelength, man. This is, you know,
yes,
space
yes.
for space in space, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Adam, thank you for that question. That was awesome. And I would be very interested to know your thoughts, Adam, because, you know, obviously this is a show that is listener-centric. So, you know, if Adam and anybody listening has ideas for, you know, what they would like Ryan's trilogy to be, send them over to us. Email us podcast@talkstarwars.co.uk, tweet DM Talk Star Wars on Twitter, drop them in the Facebook page, however you choose to drop your comments on stuff, please do, you know, because that's always fun to, they're always fun to read.
And as an avid listener of Talk Star Wars, I want to say to Adam that I enjoy his questions. They're very, very good, and I'm liking the interaction. So keep it up.
Yeah, definitely. I second that completely. You know, Adam's been, you know, a breath of fresh air in this new Talk Star Wars era. You know, and obviously we have, you know, Vesuvi and our fantastic listeners who've stuck with us. But we also have new listeners in people like Adam dropping in stuff, and it's just great. You know, it really is a wonderful sight to see, and it's very humbling. So, you know, and that doesn't happen to me very often because I'm fantastic. So, so there you go. You know, right?
We need to bring Brad. We need to get Brad in on this conversation because I think we're just too cocky. Both of
us. Oh yeah, that's definitely the way we temper that. All right, so that's our listener comm section. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there will be some Star Wars news, and there's some big stuff, so don't miss it. And we're back. So so during the break, let's do the big one first.
Sure.
So during the break, we had one of those incidents where the time zones kind of work in our favor for a change at Talk Star Wars, because usually we're midway through recording, or we just finished recording, and something earth-shattering drops. It's like, oh, man, now it's going to have to wait till next week. So thankfully, that hasn't happened this week. So we have hit the perfect point in the news cycle so we can actually talk about it. So today is the San Diego Comic-Con, particularly the Clone Wars anniversary panel. So it's the 10th anniversary of the Clone Wars this year. And in keeping with Comic-Con and announcing cool stuff, Lucasfilm have announced today that the Clone Wars will run for there will be a further 12 brand new episodes, which will be available, I'm guessing, exclusively. It doesn't specifically say that, but I would be very surprised if it wasn't exclusive, on Disney's direct-to-consumer streaming service, which is to be, fleshed out at a later date. Awesome, right?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, it's great. Like, is it a season 6.5 or season 6?
I guess it's season 6.5. So the details it gives. I got the press release from Lucasfilm while we were talking, with a link to the trailer, which unfortunately won't be in the show notes because, as I say, we were midway through when we got this. The new Clone Wars episodes will continue the storylines introduced in the original series, which explored the events leading up to Star Wars: Revenge of the Sith. The series will see the return of classic characters Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi, as well as fan favorites Ahsoka Tano and Captain Rex. The new episodes will debut on Disney's direct-to-consumer streaming service. So debut. So maybe they may come to other things later. Home release at the very least, I would have thought.
Yeah.
It's Dave Filoni. He's back. He will be back in as supervising director.
Nice. And
he's, getting the band back together.
You know what? It's about high time that they get back to making quality animated Star Wars show.
Controversial.
That's a shot at Rebels.
Yeah.
No, I kid.
Yeah.
No, but I think it did leave everyone with a sour taste in their mouth when they
when it was canned.
When they wrapped it up in a quick six episodes for series 6 or season 6.
Yeah.
And I think this is like going back and fixing a potential mistake.
Why not? Why not? Indeed, it's a really nice way to keep the fans happy, and it's been met understandably with the press release reads ecstatic cheers and raised lightsabers, which sounds about right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a euphemism though. Oh my.
Oh my.
So what a great place to announce it as well at Comic-Con. The 10th anniversary panel. People were kind of expecting there'd be something Clone Wars shaped because it's the 10th anniversary and because they have a panel. Everybody thought it might be the Ashley Eckstein, her universe clothing line that has also been announced, which I will say I'm not usually a big fan of licensed clothing other than T-shirts. I like logo T-shirts. That's my limit, really. But I tell you what, some of the stuff in that line looks fantastic. There's some really cool jackets and stuff that look quite nice. So I may have to check out their store once they're up and running. Kit myself out, make myself look pretty. Or prettier, depending on your perspective, I guess. I can't imagine I'm an international podcasting sex symbol. It's just something I can't get my head around the idea of. So I highly doubt it. But you never know. Maybe with some Her Universe stuff, maybe I can pick that up.
There are 7 billion people on this planet.
Yeah.
You're someone's cup of tea, Rob.
This is true. Oh, only nice. At least one. That's nice to think about. Hopefully it's the one I'm marrying. So we'll see.
Yes.
Yeah. At the very least.
That's the goal.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good goal. I didn't realize this actually. Looking at this, so going back to this Clone Wars thing. So I didn't realize that actually it's been 5 years since the show finished. It's a long time. It doesn't feel like that long. I didn't realize it finished in 2013. I thought it was, I don't know. But it's been, like I say, I'm not surprised. It's multiple Emmy Award winning. It's very universally well-liked by Star Wars fandom. And it's back. No word on a date.
No word on a date. But no. Disney streaming, and it probably would be available to buy on iTunes, if I'm not mistaken.
I think eventually, at the very least, it will be available. Yeah, yeah. because iTunes currently has all five series of the Clone Wars, the five full series, and also has the Lost Missions, the ones that serve as Series 6. So one thing it doesn't mention in this press release, even though I have had it kind of confirmed via... I don't know if you're aware of this. The Rogue Squadron podcast have a Patreon WhatsApp chat. And
yes.
It's exploded.
I'm a patron of Rogue Squadron podcast.
It's the Patreon group has just exploded. They're all very happy about it.
Nice.
Not surprisingly.
I was... through Twitter just when it was announced, and it seems people are loving what's happened. So,
good. This good. Is nice, you know, good. United in positivity. It's nice to see.
Yes.
Yeah. So there we go. So the Clone Wars is back. There's not much more I can say on the subject, you know, other than it sounds like a great move, and look forward to finding out when that's going to be available. And more details about that streaming service, because that's something I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Those are the details that I'm... Because I've said it from the beginning, once they announced it, that I was in, no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, give me details. I want to know, is it $3.99 a month, $5.99 a month, $10.99? Like, I just want to know.
I have a feeling, if I had to guess, and this is based purely on speculation, I would say about $7.99. And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. There's a picture doing the rounds on Twitter this afternoon, which was a rumored pricing document for the DC streaming service, so the DC universe, and that is the same price, $7.99. I have a feeling that they're all going to price at that kind of $7.99 a month price point going forwards. Just a vibe. I don't know. Like I say, I'm not sure what it's not based on anything specific. It's just a feeling I have that $7.99 is going to be this kind of magic price for some of these streaming services. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. How much is Netflix in Canada? Is it $9?
It was $9.99, I believe, for two different devices.
Okay.
For four different devices or eight different devices. It was like the price went up, obviously.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I think for the two different devices, the price went up because the Quebec government was actually imposing taxes on the service.
Oh, okay.
So I think right now it's like $12, 12 Canadian dollars, which is about £2.90 or something.
Well, we're definitely, I mean, we always get, in the UK, we do get quite a lot of tax on tech and related services because our Netflix, I think, is also $9.99. Maybe might be for the four device, actually. I feel like I was paying $9.99 for two devices when I had it. I don't have Netflix anymore, mainly because I'm kind of curious about all these other streaming services and what they'll include. I mean, if the Disney one has all the Marvel stuff too, man, I'm so there. You know, just to have kind of access to all the Marvel stuff and the Star Wars stuff in a single app would be pretty sweet. And then if you throw in the DC stuff, I mean, mainly that would, for me, that would probably be most likely for the animated series and the Vertigo movies. But, you know, your V for Vendettas and your Constantines and your Watchmen and stuff like that, you know, the sort of the deeper cuts rather than the, although there are a couple of the DCEU things I quite like, but the main ones for me would be the animated series because they're some of the best, you know. And to be honest, most of these streaming services would be for animated series, now I think about it.
Yes,
on reflection. Exactly. Yeah. But there we go. Clone Wars is back, and that's good news all around, I think.
Yes.
So speaking of Star Wars things available on release, Solo now has an official home release date.
Ooh.
So I think we speculated on this a couple of episodes ago because there was a kind of rumored date during the rounds, which was the... At the time, it was September 25th, and that has been confirmed to be the release date for physical media. So StarWars.com has a news story available, which confirms September the 14th is when you can get your digital copy via iTunes, Amazon, or Google Play. Whichever service you choose to use is going to be available there. And then 25th of September will be where you can pick it up on physical media, which will also, it looks like, include a digital copy with the Blu-ray and the 4K Blu-ray, which is for a service called Movies Anywhere. I'm really losing kind of the will to live with all these different digital copy streaming services between. Yeah. So they used to have, when I first started buying DVDs and Blu-rays with digital copies, they had the iTunes code, which would give you a standard definition version of the iTunes version. Then they added Ultraviolet to the list. And Ultraviolet goes through a service called Flixster. So in order to have, at least in, this is how it works in the UK. I mean, I may be, this may not be how it works elsewhere, but I have to have a Flixster account and an Ultraviolet account linked to be able to see, for the movies to be able to be viewable in my collection. Otherwise, I just get kind of a mix of half and half. It's a lot of upkeep and a lot of admin for what is a sense of, what is basically just a viewer for the movies I've purchased. It just seems like a lot of hassle. I don't know how you feel about that generally.
Yeah, usually here we get just a little card inside the actual DVD box, and
Yeah, we had that. Let's say we had that. Initially, it was iTunes, and then it was Ultraviolet, and then it's some places do iTunes, and some places do Ultraviolet, and some places do Sony. In particular, seems to be really keen to stick with Ultraviolet. I don't know why that is. Maybe they had a hand in the tech, like Blu-rays. Who knows? But I would like to see some kind of unifying service. So maybe if Movies Anywhere is that, then maybe I'll be a bit less frosty to it. But for now, I'm kind of just thinking, not another one.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think? Are you thinking one of these? I mean, you saw it 5 times at the cinema. Is it pretty likely you're going to pick one of these up?
I always go digital.
Okay.
Since The Force Awakens, I've gone digital with my purchases.
Nice. Okay.
And I think it's good because no matter where my phone goes,
you've got a copy with you.
I got it with me.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Nice. Definitely part of the appeal. I'm with you on that because I have, I think I mentioned it. I think we even talked about it maybe even last week or the week before. I'm very much a digital guy if the price is right, because that's something they've struggled with in the past for me, is finding that price where I can go, yep, I'm going to have that. Because sometimes the price is ludicrous. With Star Wars, there's a bit of an exception there. I will generally pay full price for Star Wars pretty early on. And I will also generally buy a physical copy as well, just because it's quite nice to have the full set on my shelf, you know, to have my Blu-rays, my DVDs. I have the full Blu-ray set of everything thus far, except obviously Solo will go into that set. I have the DVDs of the original trilogy. And I have two sets of those. I have the first release they did, which is in the Vader shape, but the Vader box with the sort of Vader's helmet on the side. I also got the ones they released with the original cuts on Laserdisc transfer, which are not great. They're not the best. Not the best quality copies in terms of visuals, but they are the original cuts. So there's that. And then I have all the Clone Wars and stuff on Blu-ray. I don't have Rebels on Blu-ray. I have Rebels. I have the first 3 series of Rebels digitally. I don't have series 4. And actually, I don't have Last Jedi digitally as well, now I think about it. I have it on Blu-ray. I don't have the digital copy. But it's definitely, there's something to be said for, I have the full Star Wars collection on my device. And like you say, wherever you are, whether you've got Wi-Fi or not, it doesn't really matter. You have access to some movies and some TV that can keep you entertained wherever you are in the world.
As long as you've got battery.
That's
the appeal of the iTunes. And especially when you have a device like my iPhone is a 128 gig.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I have no qualms of just downloading movies and just having them on my phone.
Yeah. I'm the same, actually. I have a new, my new phone is, I used to have a 64 gig phone with a 64 gig memory card. And now I have a 128 gig phone, which is quite good.
Yeah.
Works out quite nicely.
No, I love it. And plus I have the cloud also. So it's just, that's, I think, another, that's where 50 gigs. So it's great. I enjoy the digital copy. I just I don't have enough room for physical copies anymore. I don't. I have way too many DVDs. I have way too many Blu-ray. So it's just the convenience factor, that and being able to get it before everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's also part of it. And yeah, so... But I know there's people, they go out, they get the physical copy and they get that digital copy included.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, but you got to be a little bit more patient. And that's not one of my strong points.
So one thing about this solo release that's actually, that kind of dawned on me while I was reading over the press release is I reckon the behind the scenes stuff on this is going to be essential viewing. Because if there's one movie that where the behind-the-scenes stuff has probably taken over more column inches in terms of press coverage than the movie itself, I would say Solo is it. So I would be very interested to see some of the behind-the-scenes documentaries and all that kind of stuff on this particular release, because that's got to be fascinating, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, a Star Wars movie's behind the scenes stuff is cool anyway, but this one in particular, what with all the reshoots and all the production troubles it had, I'm very interested to know what they put on that disc or on that digital copy, depending on how you purchase it.
Yeah. What I loved when the Last Jedi came out, I got it obviously when it was, as soon as it was available.
Mm.
But the first thing I did was watch the director and the Jedi featurette.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. It was really something special.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to seeing what they have in store for us with the featurettes for Solo.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Something about Lando would be nice, you know?
Oh, definitely. They're definitely going to have a Lando featurette. Guaranteed. The
interactive cape walkthrough.
Well, they showed us a little bit of Lando on YouTube.
Yeah, true.
But I'm sure that's just like the Cole's notes.
Yes. Yeah. There would probably be something more in depth to it. For sure. That's interesting. Somebody's just popped up in the Twitter chat with the Star Wars Commonwealth and mentioned that Solo characters might make a passing mention in this new Clone Wars series.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a good point. You know, that world has been broken open now by the Solo movie.
You might get a Beckett somewhere.
You might get a Beckett or Akira. You know, there's a lot more scope for that stuff now. I don't know if I mentioned it just now. I remember starting the sentence. I don't think I ever finished it. But one of the things I've confirmed is going to be in the new series is the Siege of Mandalore, which was only ever in the story. I think it was storyboarded. They presented it a couple of celebrations ago as one of those things that just never quite actually made it to fruition. But that's one that they've confirmed is going to be in these new episodes. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So in other news around Star Wars, there are some new release. There's some new. I don't know if you play this one. Do you play Galaxy of Heroes?
I'm not a gamer.
Okay. It's like a phone tablet game.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not a gamer. I'm more of a sports video game, EA Sports type of.
Ah, okay, nice.
Yeah, but I don't. I have a PlayStation 2, and I haven't used it in years.
Oh man, that's old school. That's where I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
So, Galaxy of Heroes is basically like quite a popular mobile RPG. It's kind of you build a squad of Star Wars characters, and then you fight the other person's squad. And it's a mix of, you know, they've got some pre-made ones on the game that you go through as like a story mode almost. And build up your characters by fighting and collecting more characters and collecting items and stuff. And you can also play PvP and all that stuff. So to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Knights of the Old Republic, let's come back full circle. We were talking about that earlier. Capital Games has been introducing Knights of the Old Republic characters into the game. So Basil Ashan, Jolie Bindo, Darth Malak, Sith Fighters, Taris, Manan, all the different a couple of different locations from the game.
Mm.
It's nice to see these pieces of fan service. I mean, again, all this stuff is Legends now. You know, so the idea that they're still bringing this stuff into games and it doesn't have to have any grander significance than just this is a cool character people like and we're going to put it in the game because people like that character. I like that they're kind of keeping that Legends side of it alive, because they have had a couple of KOTOR characters in there already, but this is the first. This is a really big. So the full list is in the show notes. It's a big old list. You know, there's a lot there, and it's quite nice that they're tying that stuff together.
What I like is that I think they know their market, and they know who likes, what kind of people, what kind of fans enjoy the Legend stuff, mm-hmm. and they know that gamers are their core audience, their target demographic, and they're giving them what they want. Why not?
If absolutely. It worked,
yeah, and I think, you know, the whole there was a division torn in fandom with the acquisition in 2012 and dumping everything into the Legends box,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing their best to repair those scars. I think it's great. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's nice that they're. You're absolutely right. I think that with the mobile games, they're kind of the more stuff they put into things like this, the more, you know, people can kind of take or leave those characters. If it's something where they're not particularly that interested, they don't have to use that character. They could absolutely, you know, just they could unlock them and then be like, okay, cool, that, you know, and they can use them if they like them, if they gel with the way they play, things like that. Because obviously every character has a different skill set and different abilities that sort of make them useful or not useful to different play styles. It just, you know, it's nice that they've kind of given people this large variety of stuff to play with. It's, you know, I've played that game. I did go through a phase of playing it quite obsessively. They're kind of making a point of logging in multiple times a day to make sure I got the sort of the best bonuses and made the use of the energy recharging at the right times and stuff. And I was one of those people who spent a little bit of real money on it as well. It wasn't that much, but it was like £4, I think, to get sure. To get a particular bundle of bits and pieces when I first started playing. But it was, you know, it's a fun game. It's clearly very popular still because they're throwing in, you know, like you say, they're kind of catering to those fans that they know play these sorts of things and appreciate those sorts of touches. So yeah, speaking of new touches, they've announced a new book as well. So this is a Mark Sumerak book. It's called Droidography.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like the idea of, the Droidography.
Yeah. So it's written by Mark Sumerak, illustrated by Joel Hustak, and among others. It's a deep dive into mechanical beings across Star Wars, from icons like R2-D2 to new favorites 000 and BT. So from there, the Dr. Aphra comics. And actually, this isn't in the show notes, but it's in the full article on StarWars.com. It's told from the point of view of the battle droid from the Freemaker Adventures called Roger. It's actually kind of it's got a narrative frame on it as well. So that kind of that's kind of a weird touch, but I thought it was quite interesting how they're, you know, how they're presenting it. It's like a sort of a reference book, obviously, to some degree, but it's also being presented in a kind of kid friendly, accessible way, which is kind of interesting. Are you big on these sort of books?
You know what? I had it's Indigo Chapters. Mm-hmm. And I had an account online, and I had so many of the books. The ones that I truly enjoy are the Lego Star Wars books. Those are the ones that I really just the artwork and the storytelling from the Lego perspective,
yeah,
and the beautiful pictures. That's what I'm a fan of. I've never delved deep into character backgrounds and you know, planets and all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I know there's obviously a huge market for that.
Sure.
And they do really, really good job. And I think the Art of the Last Jedi It's still in my cart on the site. So sometimes I catch it at a good price and I'm going to pick it up, and I don't know, I got sidetracked and
yeah, you
know,
by the time you get back to it, it's gone back up and
so it's like $17 or $25, but then it's like, oh, I can get a speeder or I can get something else like from Lego. Right. So
yeah,
I really try to keep my collect, cause for me, buying books is collecting. It's the same as,
oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. As figures or anything of that nature. So it's not at the top of my priorities list, but I do enjoy, the products that they put out are fantastic. They're really, really good.
Yeah. I used to be big on those reference books when I was a kid, when they had the Legends ones. And in fact, this is the level to which I got interested in them. I don't know if you saw this book. It was called The Diplomatic Corps Entrance Exam. And it was basically this enormous Star Wars trivia book.
Nice.
You went through and it had questions and it was deep cuts. It was, you know, everything from the films to the most obscure Legends books. And I went through the entire thing and answered every single question. I didn't get them all right, of course, because I hadn't read everything and sometimes I was guessing and that sort of thing. But, you know, I remember very, very clearly when I was younger, just absolutely rinsing through that book and answering absolutely everything I could possibly find was just craziness. You know, how much depth they went into on that stuff.
It's like Neo just downloading all the programs.
Yeah.
Just give more.
Yeah. Can you pilot an X-Wing? I can now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, but I'm glad they're kind of keeping that level of book publishing alive, because it's one of those, like I say, it's one of those things I retain very fond memories of as a kid. So I'm kind of pleased that kids, you know, kids today, not to sound like a crotchety old man, but kids today are able to kind of get the same kind of things to the same level of detail. You know, I'd be interested if I could maybe have another go at that trivia book. If I just went with the stuff that's canon now, maybe I'd have a chance, because they've scrubbed a lot of the stuff that I didn't understand.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe if I was to just be able to skip through the Legends questions, I might be able to breeze through it and really nail it this time. So have you been keeping up with Mark Hamill on Twitter this last week?
I have. I loved it.
Yeah.
He's
back to his old ways, Carlos.
Yes,
he's back to the old troll fest. So he posted up a picture of an empty robe with a breaking news casting announcement attached to it. But here's the thing, right? So what I found interesting is everybody kind of got quite excited about it, but did it really tell us anything that we didn't know already?
No, I think it's quite clear that he's saying that Lucas is going to be a Force ghost in Episode 9.
Yeah, I feel like we knew that was on the cards, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really necessarily think, you know, I don't know. It's
a far stretch to say, oh, Mark Hamill's not going to be a 9 because of that picture.
Totally.
How far, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's clearly having fun with it. And to be honest, I feel like if he was done with Star Wars and he wasn't going to be in Episode 9, he wouldn't tweet anything about it. He'd just be completely radio silent. So I think the fact that he's tweeting about it at all suggests that you're absolutely right and he's back for Episode 9, which I think is, if it wasn't already on the cards.
So, right? He was already contracted to be so. So,
yeah.
I don't find it a huge surprise at all.
No. No, and it's certainly his path back into the storyline is less convoluted than Han Solo's. Although that theory was doing the rounds as well. Did you see that one?
Say again? So
there was a theory doing the rounds last week on Twitter. It got quite a lot of traction. I don't really understand the reasoning behind that, but there was a theory doing the rounds that Han Solo could come back using the time travel mechanics that they introduced in Rebels. I don't know. That feels to me like a bit of a cop-out if they go down that route.
The world between worlds.
Yeah, like so they could theoretically use that to bring him back and to kind of go back. And basically what they suggested was that Lando could use that maybe with most likely with Ray's help, go back to Starkiller Base to the bridge and stop Han Solo from being killed in the first place. That causes a lot of problems. Because for not least of all, because it retcons episode 8 completely.
Part of the complaints were that he retconned episode 7, that Ryan really undercut JJ. So
yeah.
For them to do it back would be like
it would be crazy. Yeah. It just seems at that point, just let them fight. You know, let JJ and Ryan, if they're going to go down that route, then let them just fight it out, you know? Because it would clearly they just want to have a brawl because they just keep retconning each other's movies. So they'll just do, all right, so, you know, you'll be pleased to, you know, like everybody, we get an announcement to make. JJ Abrams is going to have a trilogy that retcons Ryan's trilogy. So, guys, just fight, please. just have a spar and just see what happens. You might just both feel better at the end. You know, it makes me crack up to think about it. Just the idea of them just, like I say, just inter-director boxing matches. You know, if you want to resolve your differences, who was the best Batman director? Tim Burton versus Chris Nolan. Go.
Chris Nolan.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be my pick personally, but. Yeah, but that would be my, you know, like I say, just the notion of inter-director boxing, just the headline fight, like a Don King style promotion, you know, with J.J. Abrams versus Rian Johnson in the retcon battle would be, it's like I say, it's a mental image I've struggled to get out of my head without giggling. So,
yeah.
But, to me, the only thing that this empty cloak thing kind of cemented is that he's going to be in episode 9.
Yeah, for sure.
If he wasn't, he would have just said nothing. And he has been capable of doing that in the past. You know, I mean, how much did he talk about Star Wars before episode 7 was announced? Not very much, I'd wager.
And actually, I don't remember hearing much actually from him.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it was post The Force Awakens, leading up to the Jedi, that he was a lot more active.
Exactly. Yeah, I really think that he's definitely involved, and he will be. Like I say, Force Ghost is the only thing that makes sense, unless you do going back in time, not going back in time, the world between worlds stuff. I'm talking just go back in time in narrative. But I really think that's kind of. That's hard to frame, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but so there you go. That kind of not confirmation, but certainly a strong suggestion that Mark Hamill will play a part in episode 9, as if we didn't already know that.
Seriously. You're really stretching super thin to say that he's not going to be in it based on that tweet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big reach, I would say. To make that claim. Now, obviously, he has a robot hand, maybe it telescopes, but even for him, it feels like a big reach.
go, gadget arm.
Exactly, yeah. I'm glad it wasn't just me who had that mental image going. Well, there we go. That's our Star Wars news for the week. So it's been, you know, it was looking kind of light until the break, because then we got the email from Lucasfilm about the new Clone Wars episodes. And that's a big piece, you know. And there may be more... You know, stuff to come from SDCC. You'll have to hear about that next week, I'm afraid, because we are recording on a Thursday night in the UK, at least Thursday afternoon in Canada. And, you know, we are still learning. So we are still finding out about further announcements. There may be more to tell in the next episode. There may not be. It may just be Brad catching up with the Clone Wars stuff. Who knows? But we shall see. But thank you very much, Carlos, for joining me on this in this episode.
Mr. Wade, it was my pleasure.
Yeah, and it's always nice to have you here. And obviously, you know, with the unfortunate illness Brad has endured, that it's actually worked out. The timing could not have been more perfect if I'd planned it, which I didn't. But I made that sound more suspicious than it should have been, because I really didn't. But yeah, again, Carlos, thank you. It's been always a pleasure catching up, and it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. So I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have.
Oh, no, I have. And if the door's open, I'd love to come back.
Excellent. Well, we're more than happy to have you on in a future episode. We will arrange that in the not-too-distant future.
Perfect.
That sounds like a plan. So if you've enjoyed Talk Star Wars, in addition to Spotify, which I mentioned at the top of the show, you can catch up with Talk Star Wars on all good podcatchers, you know, so Apple Podcasts, and even better ones. It's available pretty much everywhere. Just search for Talk Star Wars, and you can find it all at talkstarwars.co.uk, which is the website where it all happens. Carlos, where can people find you on social media if they want to follow what you're doing?
If people want to follow me, they can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at C Candido Music. You can check out my website, carloscandidomusic.com. Once you're there, you can stream some of my music. You can buy music. Just check it out. Or search for me on Facebook, Carlos Candido, and you'll find my music page there.
Yes, and I would definitely recommend checking out your music page because I do rather enjoy your style.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, and obviously I have your EP at home. It's something of very great value to me. And I do, you know, it's one of my favorite parts of the... It sounds horrible to say it's one of my favorite parts of the Tumbling Saber is the end, but it's because of the song.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's the only reason, I promise, Carl, if you're listening. Which I hope so, you know. Seems only fair. But there you go. So you can follow Carlos on the places mentioned above. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision. And obviously I run the at Talk Star Wars on Twitter and the Facebook page Talk Star Wars. You can join up with those things. And as I say, there's the website talkstarwars.co.uk. If you want to make use of our Amazon widget, we're never going to say no to that. So that's available on the Talk Star Wars website. You can buy all of your stuff through Amazon and it doesn't cost you any extra. And we get a little bit of love as a way of saying thanks for sending you their way. All that remains then is to spend some time plugging the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network, which obviously Talk Star Wars is a proud member of, which includes Tumbling Saber, Generation X-Wing, the Rogue Squadron Podcast, the Skyhoppers, Tatooine Sons, Less Than 12 Parsecs, the San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast, and the Nerd Room. I knew I was forgetting one. I feel terrible about it. Generation X-Wing, I mentioned. Rogue Squadron, I mentioned. I've got it in front of me. This is to make sure I never forget again. The Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network can be found at starwarscommonwealth.com, and you can join up with all those shows and take your first steps into a larger world. Thank you very much for listening to Talk Star Wars, and we will see you next week.